Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Despite its Puritan roots, or perhaps in reaction to them, Boston is the country's second funniest city. That's according to some new serious research about what makes things funny. Chicago took top billing, but Boston earned second place thanks to its busy improv comedy scene and because it produced the likes of Bill Cosby, Dennis Leary, Louis C.K., Mindy Kaling, and Sarah Silverman, to name just a few of its funniest natives.
The research comes from Dr. Peter McGraw, a marketing and psychology professor at the University of Colorado Boulder, where he directs the Humor Research Lab. And yes, the Humor Research Lab is a real thing. He traveled the world with journalist Joel Warner in an epic quest to discover the secret behind humor. They wrote the book The Humor Code, a global search for what makes things funny. And Dr. Peter McGraw joins us from Boulder. Welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've got to ask you about this epic global research where I understand along the way you conducted humor experiments. What exactly did you do?
The question is, what didn't we do along the way? we did some things back in the Humor Research Lab, which we affectionately call HURL. And, and then we did some things out on the road. I think something that Boston residents would probably enjoy. While we were in New York, we decided to get a bunch of madmen drunk to see if they would become funnier.
And did they?
They thought they did, but alas,
that's the problem, right?
No improvement.
I see. Now, you and your team at the Humor Research Lab, or HURL, spent 9 months putting together this humor algorithm to identify the funniest cities in America. So how did you devise this algorithm?
So this is actually a fairly common technique, I think, within the sciences. You create a linear model, you feed it a bunch of data, and then it spits out a ranking. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we mostly just sat around in lab meetings trying to figure out what could we find out in the real world, what pieces of data that we could find that would indicate whether a city not only can create good humor, but also appreciates it.
I see. But what kinds of things went into this algorithm? Give me a couple of specifics.
So it was run in two batches. The first batch, we tried to get some more objective data. So things like the number of comedy clubs per square mile, visits to funny websites. So we called our pals at the Cheeseburger Network, and they gave us the number of views and amount of time spent on their various comedy websites from residents of the cities. We looked at Google search data. So were people in these cities searching for terms like amusement, funny, humor? Mm. And then we even asked some touring comedians to rate the quality of the audiences in the clubs in those cities.
So this brings us to Boston, which came in as the second funniest city behind Chicago. What in particular makes Boston so funny?
Well, one of the things that really helped Boston was the second part of the project in which we surveyed members, citizens of the cities, and asked them their preference for various things like funny movies, TV shows, their preference for funny friends and romantic partners. And we also asked them their need for levity, a personality measure that looks at just how important playfulness and humor is in their life. And generally, Boston did pretty well. It was in the top five of almost all of those categories.
Right. And as we mentioned in the introduction, it's been pretty good at producing a lot of funny people, right? I mean, we mentioned the list there.
Yeah, indeed. And some of it's a virtue of being a large city, but I think that there's some momentum that a place like Boston has. Because it has good comedy clubs, because it has this active comedy scene, it attracts people to comedy, but it also helps foster and mentor people.
Nice.
And so you have Louis C.K., you know, he's learning comedy from the person ahead of him because he was going to those clubs at that time.
Now, you mentioned Louis C.K., and I know you spoke to him for advice about what makes things funny. What did he tell you?
Well, yeah, so for the Humor Code project, Joel and I met him in the green room at the Paramount Theater in Denver, and I eagerly approached him with my ideas, my theory of what makes things funny. And how do I say this delicately? Louis's not a fan of the benign violation theory.
You've got to explain that.
Well, you know, so I think that here's someone who, you know, you could argue is the funniest comedian on the planet right now, and he didn't need a theory to become funny. You know, he did it through intuition and hard work. And so the idea that some guy can come along and just say, oh, here's the answer, I think Louis doesn't think it's that simple.
Yeah. Well, isn't there something contradictory, though, about what you're doing? I mean, in the sense that humor and funny is just something that comes from the gut, and you're trying to get all scientific about it.
I know. I'm trying to dissect the frog. And
it's not a pretty thing when those guts come spilling out, right? It's not a frog anymore.
But Joel and I like to say that if jokes are like frogs, there's a lot of sick frogs out there. and if you need to cut up a few to make them better on the whole, I think it's important. I mean, to say that just because it's mysterious and subjective makes it not a good topic of science. I don't know. I think that, you know, if we can create nuclear energy and if we can map the human genome, we should be able to crack the humor code.
Okay. Now, listen, nothing to be ashamed of. A silver medal, not bad. Yay, we're number two. But what does Chicago have that we don't have when it comes to being funny?
Well, so Chicago seems to have even a little bit more of that value. So Chicago, for instance, ranks number one on that need for levity scale. So maybe there's something about that windy city that makes people need to consume more comedy in order to deal with those winters.
Mm. Maybe they don't take themselves as quite as seriously. I don't know. I have to imagine that brought our score down a little bit.
And I think that there's something a little bit about Chicago as being like the Avis of cities. Like, we try harder because they're stuck in the middle of the country. Hmm. And they have their own long tradition of not stand-up comedy, but improv and being a feeder to Saturday Night Live. And I think that people often associate that very strongly with Chicago.
I got to ask you finally, Peter, about this humor lab at the University of Colorado. What goes on there? Because I have sort of, I'm picturing juggling clowns, whoopee cushions. I don't know. What are you watching? Old episodes of Abbott and Costello? And are you hiring, by the way? I don't know. It sounds like a great time.
Well, we are looking. If Louis C.K. changes his mind, we really could use a substantial donation to help run some better studies. I hate to disappoint. People are sort of invariably disappointed that there's not, you know, stacks and stacks of rubber chickens and hand buzzers that we do. But it is a lot more fun than the typical academic
laboratory. It sounds like it. Well, that's Dr. Peter McGraw. He's director of the Humor Research Lab at the University of Colorado Boulder. His new book with co-author Joel Warner is The Humor Code, a global search for what makes things funny. Peter McGraw, thank you so much.
That was a pleasure.